VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. And today's program certainly to keep you informed on a critical issue facing our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that there's an attempt going on to undermine our Constitution? It's to undermine the Electoral College and its intent as it was set up by the framers of the United States Constitution. There is a movement going on to instead elect a president by national popular vote. And in doing so, advocates are going state to state in an attempt to, in essence, amend the Constitution without going through the prescribed channels for doing so. We invite you to listen today as we address what's happening with this Electoral College, the debate with national popular vote, what the framers had in mind, and why there's concern over electing a president by national popular vote versus the Electoral College system. Well, joining us today, we welcome Ed Martin. Ed is the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, as well as affiliated organizations, Eagle Form Education Legal Defense Fund and America's Future. Ed was nominated by Phyllis Schlafly to succeed her as a president of the Eagle Form organizations. He's a lawyer, holds advanced degrees in medical ethics and philosophy, as well as was chief of staff to former Missouri Governor Matt Blunt. Ed, nice to have you with us today here on Crosstalk.
Great to be with you, and thanks for taking the time to take up such an important issue. I think you do a great service to our country and your listeners by spending some time on this important issue. Thank you.
Well, Ed, as you know, to many, this Electoral College is a great mystery. It's not understanding of what this is. So I think it would be good for discussion purposes to define it. What exactly is this Electoral College?
Well, you're right about that, and I think a lot of times people need to slow down and start there. So thank you for asking again. So for those listeners, we kind of know when there's a presidential election that it happens through the Electoral College, but we don't quite know maybe the history and the reason. The founders decided that in order to get the great compromise of 13 colonies to live together, they had to do some things that bound them together in ways that allowed the smaller colonies to feel like they were equal to the bigger ones. You know, at that time, Massachusetts and Virginia and New York were the larger, and other ones like Rhode Island and others were smaller. And so the Electoral College was set up to say that the voting would take place based on a similar balance to our Senate and House. In other words, each state gets two votes, obviously senators also, and that means, in fact, I was in Idaho 2 weeks ago, and I had the senator from Idaho, Jim Risch, tell me that he finds that there are times where working with smaller state senators, even of the same party, is easier because they have common interests. So the founders were saying, hey, let's have two senators from every state. And then they said the rest of the vote should be by population distributed like we have our U.S. House. So what you end up with is the competition, the rules to be elected president are based on this diffusion of influence. So it's not just Chicago, it's not just Los Angeles, it's not just New York that has a lot of population. They'll already have a big influence because they'll have a number of congressmen or an electoral college votes, but they won't be the ones that kind of roll over us. You know, and I maybe come through this and say the best example, I'll probably use it two or three more times, that the late Phyllis Schlafly used to always use was, you know, let's pretend the Brewers get into the World Series and they win the series 4-3, you know, 4-3, the World Series, 7-game series. Well, in 1960, the Pirates, famous World Series, they won the series 4-3, but they lost the number of runs. They got outscored by the Yankees 55-27. In other words, do you want to say that the Yankees really won? Of course not. So the system, the Electoral College, from the very beginning of our country, was meant to say that when we elect our president, we're going to have this diffusion of influence, and it's not just going to become a race to get the number of votes, which would lead to a race for the big cities and the big city machines to control the election of our president.
And I think that's really important for us to know because, I mean, we've got people in many states. I think there's the Idaho that you mentioned, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, who have a smaller number of electoral votes. Their population is not as large. South Dakota, North Dakota, and Vermont and Wyoming fit into those categories as well. But when it comes to electing a president, this gives them some standing as to who that president is going to be.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and more importantly, in this moment in history, and you know, you and I were talking off the air, the national popular vote movement, which we'll talk about some specific instances that have come up recently. That's been around for decades and decades, really back into the 70s. So this comes around every now and then when people want to change things. But one of the best ways to see how this works is to look at the 240. Abraham Lincoln was elected president with about 40% of the vote, you know, because there was other candidates in the race in the Electoral College, but yet he won the Electoral College, right? So it was not 40% of the popular vote. He won the Electoral College. So, you know, the system has been tested and tried and true. And again, in this moment, especially with the media, can you imagine the temptation for candidates, presidential candidates who have to lead the whole nation, to ignore all the flyover states and spend their time in Chicago, New York, Miami, and Los Angeles? And it would be malpractice. I do. Of course, I'm a supporter of President Trump. And when President Trump, when someone said, "Well, you didn't win the popular vote," he said, "I won the election in a landslide the way the rules are set, the way we predicted." In other words, we all ran on the same system, and I think that system's worked very well for, you know, almost 250 years.
Well, it is, and when you take into account, and I know one of the aspects of lamentation from Hillary Clinton, she bemoans the fact that she did not get the electoral votes from the state of Wisconsin, but never once did she come to this state during that election cycle. She sent surrogates to come here. She herself did not come here, but as Wisconsin is a purple state, in this particular election, the electoral votes went to Donald Trump because he won the majority of votes in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and look, and that's right, and that's going to be one in history writes about for a long time, and there's lots of reasons Hillary Clinton didn't win, but you're exactly right. And think about, again, the power of Wisconsin. I mean, in other words, Wisconsin matters in part because the Electoral College, the way it operates, and same with other small states. In addition, it would sort of gut the state system. You know, in other words, if it was just popular vote, the number one, you know, there's three or four regions that are just at Miami, L.A., New York, and, you know, maybe Chicago. And and so the power that we the people set up our system of governing, we the people, by giving our power, it didn't come from the king who gave it to us, we gave it to the government through our states. That's actually how the thing came together. And so we want to be respectful of how the states, and we'll talk later about if you want real reform, some people, and the late Phyllis Schlafly argued, that you ought to have the Electoral College votes be decided by congressional district. Now, the states are allowed to do it differently, where when Wisconsin is won by Trump, he gets all the Electoral Colleges. But Maine, for example, they give their Electoral College Senate votes, the two that are statewide, to the winner of the popular vote in Maine. But the others, they do by congressional district, which lets the local people in an area have a say and matter. So I think that's it's been a ingenious system, the Electoral College and the Constitution. I think we want to be careful to watch out messing with it.
And looking, and by the way, folks, Ed Martin is with us today, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And Ed, as we consider this national popular vote and some of the dangers associated with that, when there are multiple candidates running, a three-way race, I mean, we saw it with Ross Perot. We may see it this year, too, as the Starbucks interest comes into the race. But in a three-way race or a four-way race, I mean, we could have a candidate that actually wins if a three-way race, just 34-35% of the vote, popular vote.
Well, there is a contemplation of how that the Electoral College could get thrown to the, if no one gets a majority, if it's split up and it gets thrown to the Congress. It hasn't happened, but I guess maybe once or almost happened once. I have to look at that again. But you're right. I mean, again, the system has And look, I think, and some of your listeners are probably saying, yeah, but the system has become really broken because both parties are so bad. That's a different conversation. You know,
we
may wish that there were more parties. That's not our system. But as to the Electoral College, as you point out, it's been sturdy in those cases where there are extra candidates and independent candidates. And again, the offers to fix it, like the one in Colorado we'll talk about in a moment, that are proposed, they're not proposing something that would address that. They're creating a national popular vote, which would be just simply empowering the big cities and the big populations. And again, our framers knew we were really good people, but they also knew that they wanted to diffuse power amongst states and amongst the regions, the parts of the country.
Now, you mentioned Colorado, and indeed, that's why this whole debate and interest is being reignited, because they just became the 12th state to join an interstate compact. Let's first talk about this compact, and then we'll bring Colorado into it. What is this interstate compact going on right now?
Well, one of the attempts to do something in the future is to bypass, again, the Constitution, which says if you would like to amend the Constitution, you know, get the Congress to pass an amendment and then get 38 states to ratify it. These compacts are an attempt to have states bind together and to say, well, we'll agree to do something, and when we agree, that'll force other people to go along. So in this case, for example, the national popular vote, for many years and decades now, the pitch has been, if the states that have the most interest in doing this, big population states like New York and California, if we all band together and we decide we'll make our electors, you know, we'll bind our electors that get picked to go to the Electoral College and force them to vote the way of the popular vote in the country. That's what they're saying. And so this compact is a way that 11 states, maybe 12 states, would try to swing the election against the rest of the country. That's unconstitutional. I mean, there's no way to sustain that. But it's also, I think, very dangerous to think about our country allowing the states to sort of band together in these ways. It may feel good if you were, say, pro-life, and you're wanting to sort of force a pro-life issue. It won't work the same way, I think, but it's certainly dangerous when you're trying to change how the Constitution works to pick our president.
So Colorado just became the 12th state now to join this compact, and I know the Governor Polis just interviewed recently by The Hill, in which he made it clear that he said he views the system of the presidential election crafted by the Founding Fathers as, quote, an undemocratic relic.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like comical. It's like an old Alice in Wonderland skit where they say something about what they're doing but describe it for the Constitution. I mean, you know, what could be less democratic than, let's say this, America's not a democracy, right? We're
right.
A republic. We're a democratic republic.
Constitutional republic, yeah.
Yeah, constitutional republic. And in other words, we value the vote. We have democratic tendencies, meaning that we like to have people vote, but we're a republic. And so the republic part of this has been the key difference in avoiding tyranny of the majority and of the masses. And that doesn't mean we don't respect the masses and the people, but the system's been set up in that way. So it may be that he would like to see democracy in action, but I think what he means is he wants to get rid of the constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that should be scary to all your listeners.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break here. Ed Martin is our guest from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, and we're talking about the attack on the Electoral College. And the reason why this discussion reignited is because Colorado has just joined this pact, taking their 9 electoral votes to go along with these other states who have said, we're going to surrender our votes to whoever wins the national popular vote. We'll have more discussion on this after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, are whales related to any land animals?
Chris, evolutionists think they are. In fact, this is one of their strongest arguments these days, that whales evolved from land animals with legs. Some say that the ancestor looked like a cow or maybe a wolf or a hippopotamus. Well, I think they're all wrong. Recently, the head portion of a whale fossil was found in California. It didn't have the rear portion at all, but this didn't keep evolutionists from claiming that they had small rear legs. Chris, why do we believe them? Why do even evolutionists believe them when they make up stories like this? The Bible says that God created whales on day 5 of creation week. They've always been whales and they still are whales. Even whales go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ed Martin is our guest today, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. We're talking about the attack on the Electoral College. Just before we pick up our discussion on this, Ed, give us a word about Phyllis Schlafly Eagles.
Well, you know, the late Phyllis Schlafly, who died just over 2 years ago, was a wonderfully iconic grassroots leader. And so she started working in the 1940s to fight against communism, and all throughout her decades of activism, she fought for pro-life and the Constitution and just did wonderful things. And when she was preparing for her end, she made sure that we went forward into the future. So the Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, we're about 4 or 5 affiliated organizations that do work in all the states, also in Washington, D.C., and our mission is to bring conservative principles to policy in politics. And so right now, I would say just a thumbnail, just to give you real very quick, our top priorities are supporting this president's good policies, pro-life, the Constitution, and also the issues of trade and immigration. And then we do spend a lot of time promoting Phyllis Schlafly's legacy as a leader. So it's an extraordinary group of almost entirely volunteers, a few paid folks, but we are, I'd say, the backbone of the conservative movement is what Phyllis Schlafly built.
And you've got a website?
Yeah, sorry, it's phyllisschlafly.com, phyllisschlafly.com. It is a spelling test for people, so I'll give them a cheat sheet, P-H-Y-L-L-I-S, and then another S, S-C-H-L-A-F-L-Y.com. And if you track me on Twitter, I'm at Eagle Ed Martin, at Eagle Ed Martin, and we do a lot of different kinds of things education-wise, and people find a lot at that website.
Okay, again, folks, that's phyllisschlafly.com, P-H-Y-L-L-I-S, and then Schlafly, S-C-H-L-A-F-L-Y.com, phyllisschlafly.com.
Perfect, you pass. You pass the test.
Wonderful. Say, Ed, you know, this whole matter of a national popular vote, I can just see where people could really feel betrayed by this in their state. Okay, our program is, I'm speaking from Wisconsin right now.
Right.
And if the people in our state voted for a Democrat, however, if a Republican had more popular votes around the nation, then Wisconsin would then have to surrender all of its electoral votes to the Republican, and vice versa. If we had voted for a Republican, but the national popular vote had a Democrat, Hillary Clinton, we would have to surrender our electoral votes to go to Hillary Clinton had this national popular vote movement been in progress.
Right, and that's right, and that is an injustice, and people should be outraged that it's being proposed and supported by legislators. And more importantly, if that's what people want to do, they ought to proceed to amend the U.S. Constitution and get rid of the Electoral College, not do it by some sort of backhanded deal that will, in fact, what you say is even better. It will better. Your description is wonderful and succinct. It will cause people to be angry at each other, and they'll be saying, "Why am I having my Electoral College vote in Wisconsin for the other party because Los Angeles and New York ran up the score?" It just doesn't. It's not a good thing for this country if you want to live together well.
And there's another aspect to this too, and we will not forget the controversy going back to the hanging chads down in Florida in the Bush-Gore race. And can you imagine, Ed, if there was controversy? Right now, we can pinpoint it to a particular state for clarification what's happened there. But in the case of the Bush-Gore race, what would have happened if we would have had to do a national recount and state after state after state were looking for hanging chads or determining what was really the intent of the voter on this ballot?
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel like I'm hosting a show and you're the teacher, because I agree with you completely. I maybe go one step further and say, imagine the problem if the voter fraud that can run up the popular vote in, let's pick a place, New York City, because it's controlled by one party, forget for now that it's Democrats, although it is, and they ran up the vote and you had 50 million people and you said, that doesn't sound right. Right now, if Wyoming doesn't do a good job of their election, manning their election and there's fraud, it's limited to the 10 electoral votes that are damaged, and the people in their home state are going to demand a change. If you, let's say that New York had 50 million votes out of 55 million people living there, and you said, that doesn't make sense, you have no recourse. You don't live there. You don't have a way to politically make a difference. So you're setting up the prospect of massive voter fraud instead of localizing any problem of voter fraud, which can be addressed by the people in that home community, that home state, or that home city.
Now, friends, we understand that the legislation that just went through Colorado, where they just agreed to become part of this coalition, that this coalition doesn't really go into effect until they've mustered up enough states that would add up to the 270 electoral votes. As of now, we understand they have states that are totaling up to about 181, California, Massachusetts, New York, Washington, Connecticut, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Vermont, but they are getting closer to that 270 number.
Well, look, as a practical matter, sometimes when you do that way, you describe that, you can know who's for this, right? I mean, look, the number of people who are for this in the last 50 years, it was Jimmy Carter's number one priority. A few years later, it was Ted Kennedy and Senator Birch Bayh's priorities, right? I mean, the left loves this because the image that they have in their head is controlling massive numbers of votes with fraud or otherwise and getting control. So also, if you're living in a state like I'm from Missouri, you hear that California, New York, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts want something, and you tend to say, well, those are the places that Nancy Pelosi and Barney Frank and a lot of people that are not exactly in my value lane are for. But I would say this, that when people say there's momentum for this effort, as you and I talked off the air, when people find out more, they reject this idea pretty quickly, and that's so there, if there's momentum, there may be, as you said, Colorado's having some opposition. The other thing is, no one's tested this in the courts. I think there's a pretty good likelihood that the judges would look at it and say, you can't circumvent the Constitution by these kinds of deals. But again, I'm not sure I'd trust the judges in this federal court system these days, too. So we'll see. We'll see where we are. I think we have a lot of good-thinking states that are not going to pass this.
I mean, how many times do we hear, especially on the left, about disenfranchising voters? This is the ultimate disenfranchisement of voters, because it could take, as we said, the votes of a whole state and just say, sorry, that doesn't count. Your vote is now going to go for this candidate instead.
Well, and remember, the power of money in politics is real, and people, you know, I'm not one to hear that say that I want the government to regulate every aspect of our free speech and our spending of our dollars, but there's a real problem. I will tell you, on the night that Roy Moore lost his election in Alabama to Doug Jones, it was a very prominent election, everyone's involved, I was on the set of one of the TV shows, and I was with an activist from the left, and I said, how much money do you think was spent in Alabama? And she turned to me and she said, they think it's a million in the cities. And she said, I know it's 4.5 million in Birmingham and Montgomery alone.
My.
And I said, you're kidding. And she said, no. And she said, you watch the numbers. We're going to turn out every African-American precinct. My point here is only that the priority of the country of the candidates nationally for president would be not broadly for America, it would be narrowly for the popular vote, which is, again, only by experience we look at. Maybe somehow everyone will be virtuous in the future and do it right. But right now we know what happens is the money goes to influence turnout and influence the numbers. It just doesn't seem like a good idea to me, and I have a hard time getting people that want the national popular vote to say how they address these flaws in their reasoning.
Yeah, another major player right now in this whole thing is Eric Holder. Washington Times just reported last week that he's been calling for the abolishment of the Electoral College. He's calling it a vestige of the past as well. That should bear some significance in people's minds as well.
Well, look, Eric Holder, I'm glad he's out of office. Thank goodness that he's out. But he also, out of office, he showed what many of us thought. He's really an ideological leftist. He's not particularly, I think, trying to hide that anymore. So his goal is more power for the left. You know, I, I'm I just think that he showed his true colors. So you don't have to say, well, you know, we used to say at a former attorney general, well, you know, he's really experienced and it's important and all. Holder's really just a political player. He wants to be the vice presidential nominee. He recently said he's not going to run for president. He wants to be the VP nominee, I would say. So he's trying to, you know, play to the base. And look, the Democrats keep losing electoral college. So they're getting madder and madder at it. I understand their interest in power, but that should send a message to the people that what's good about it, not only because Republicans win, I think some of the Republicans that have won haven't been very good in office, but the system, again, is more than 200 years old. It's been tested in war. It's been tested in major crisis. It's, before we throw it out, we need to be really, really careful.
And folks, keep in mind that Eric Holder right now, and I'm talking to those of you in Wisconsin in particular, multiple stations picking up this program, he is pouring in lots and lots of money to change our Wisconsin Supreme Court from conservative to liberal. And that just announced here within the last day or two. Ed, we understand that in Colorado that they are citizens are outraged by this, and they are promising to circulate a petition to force a vote on this by the people concerning this measure. They have to gather some 124,000 signatures by this summer, but a grassroots effort appears to be taking place there when people realize what this national popular vote is all about.
Well, I think that's, again, you and I had a great conversation off the air, and we were talking about this. How does it change? When people find out what the impact will be of a national popular vote, they start to galvanize. I will say this, Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, and again, go to phyllisschlafly.com. We bring people together to show them how to organize, to how to go make their voice heard, how to amplify their voice so people are aware of it. Politicians and elected officials, we may wish they were all virtuous in every way, and we pray they are, but I know this, they respond to voters and voices, they respond to dollars and influence, and what your listeners and what we ought to do is make our voices heard and our influence, stronger, and we're good at doing that ourselves, and we need to do it. So I'm glad people are getting energized, but there's a lot of more work to do.
How important is it for people all across this nation to be engaged in this matter on a state level?
It's important, but it's also important because the Constitution, the reverence for the Constitution is more important than just having a really cool history. There's really good stories from the Revolution and the histories we read. Those are important, and you might learn lessons from them. But the Constitution's our kind of operating system. And so insofar as these arguments in our states are about something you're worried about, like I don't want my vote taken away, that's good. But it also needs to be a recovery of this sort of wonderful Constitution that has, again, held us together as a nation and as a people. You know, the world looks at America and marvels at our success, but they also figure out pretty quickly the one thing that's different is our Constitution and our founding in a Judeo-Christian tradition with the Judeo-Christian ethics. You put those two together, and we have a free market that works. We have, functioning with different backgrounds and religions working. So I encourage people as they get excited about this issue to also use it as a chance to talk about our great Constitution.
Except if you're talking with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who says not to follow our Constitution as a model.
Yeah, well, I did. I found something the other day. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she wants the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, to now failed. That's her number one priority. I mean, she, again, this is not to say it's a good or bad thing, but she is a confirmed career leftist before she was on the bench. I mean, she wrote books about her position. She's not a moderate. Again, our system allows conservatives and liberals and extremists to serve, but it's not worth this move to make her into a benign and a wonderful old lady. I hope she is benign and wonderful, but her policies are very far to the left and have been a big part of what's gone wrong on our court for a long time.
Folks, what are your questions on the issue, on the Electoral College National Popular Vote? Our phone lines are open today, 1-800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Do you have concern about this movement that's going on, push from the Eric Holders of this world to change, subvert the intention of our Constitution? We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented, battles and their outcomes are confirmed, and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trowel. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Folks, a very critical program today as there is an outright attack on the Electoral College. It's an attack upon our Constitution, an attack upon what the framers intended for the Constitution, and most recent exhibit to what just happened in the state of Colorado as they have joined this state compact. They're the 12th state, and to join with other states and trying to give their electoral votes to whoever wins the national popular vote. This is to trigger, once they have states equivalent to 270 electoral votes or more. Taking your questions, your comments on the issue today, our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Our numbers, our line is packed right now, so as soon as you hear a caller hang up, that'll be your opportunity to give a call on the broadcast. We have as our guest today Ed Martin, who is the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Their website is phyllisschlafly.com. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Mick in West Dallas, Wisconsin. Mick, you're on the air.
I just have a question. I'm wondering, is this constitutionally legal, and is this something they're planning on just going ahead and doing without a constitutional convention or an amendment? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mick. Is this process even constitutional, Ed?
Well, that's a good question. I just said earlier, I think it might not be. But remember, we're living in a world where the left decides that they want to do something, and then they run to court, and they hope that a judge will allow them to. You know, just earlier today, Jim, another federal court in California struck down the Trump administration's effort to ask a question on the census about whether people are citizens. And so they struck it down, a federal judge. I don't know how legally they think they have the right to do it, but my point here is that I think the left thinks if they make a big argument and then they just keep going forward, that the courts might uphold it. I don't think they will. But you bring up another point. Some people want a full-on constitutional convention. I always quote the late Justice Scalia, who said it's the wrong century for a constitutional convention, meaning, can you imagine what CNN would do with delegate to the new constitutional convention? Nancy Pelosi, Delegate Pelosi would be there, and delegates, you know, it just is a crazy idea. So I don't think it's constitutional, don't think it's legal, but I think they would hope it would be tested and then see what the returns are.
Tom is calling from Fort Scott, Kansas. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, you know, our founding fathers, they set this thing up for a reason, because they knew the kind of people that could be out there. Mm-hmm. And once they get away from Electoral College, you know, the biggest cities are on the East and West Coast, and they're all Democratic, so that's where it's headed.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. And Ed, that's what we talked about. People, candidates would just go to the population centers, and it doesn't matter how, I mean, vote once, vote twice, vote how many times you want. You know, the key is to get, and we talked about voter fraud now. Can you imagine what would be happening under a popular vote movement?
Yeah, and look, I'm not, one of the things we all need to be very smart and good to each other about is there would have been the same, even though the founders were extraordinary people. You know, human beings are human beings. We all have our flaws, and we're all broken, and we need the redemptive Lord to save us. But the point is, as your caller said, the founders knew that, and it was a compromise, right? The founders were saying, how do we bind together people who are going to live in one place? You know, at that time, it was you lived in the South, in South Carolina, or you lived in Maine. Those were two very different sets of people who, in the sense that they live with different challenges, they have different economy. So how did you blend it together? And again, the result is in this great country, this nation we've had for all this time. The binding together, by the way, is a part of what holds us but it's also a part of what makes us. It makes us special that we believe in this, that we share this way. And, you know, I was telling my kids about something on this topic. I said, you know, we're family. We're together because God made us as a family, but we're a nation because we've chosen to share. We could leave. We could move to another country, I suppose. I mean, I can't imagine it. But this nation is bound together. The Constitution is a big part of that glue. And before we substitute modern glue, we might want to think it through.
Absolutely. Let's go next to John. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm definitely pro-life. I'm not left. But I believe that we do need a popular vote, and I don't believe what has not been mentioned is that, well, our vote counts, and I don't think it is, especially with superdelegates.
Well, that's a different, I think we just might have slipped into apples and oranges. I sat on the Republican National Committee for a few years. I was the chairman of the Missouri Republican Party. The political system, the Republican Party, Democrat Party system, I would say they're pretty darn broken, especially the Democrats. I mean, you're talking about superdelegates, and you're talking about the power of insiders to take away from the voters. In Missouri, we had a problem where the grassroots was not getting our voice heard in the Republican Party, but then I was the guy that became chairman because the grassroots united to throw them out. So the parties are artificial, and the parties are not the glue that holds the country together. But that's a little bit of a trick that the proponents of national popular vote do. They say, don't you feel like your party is leaving you behind? Don't you feel like your voice isn't heard?
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, I think the Republican Party has a lot to answer for in the last few years, including in the state where you're transmitting from, Paul Ryan. I don't think he did enough for pro-life. I mean,
right.
I'm happy to go into that. But as to the Constitution, your vote does count. It counts in Wisconsin or Missouri, and it's counted there, and it just means that it leads to being the vote counting as part of the system. Just like your vote doesn't get to decide how Congress votes, it gets to decide who's in Congress, and those people are there to vote for you. That's the republic part of this constitutional republic.
And I want to just circle back here on one of the things you said. He's comparing apples to oranges here because there are no superdelegates in the Electoral College, correct?
Correct. Yes.
And John, so what Ed was just explaining there, that, you know, what happens within the political parties, the Democratic National Committee, the Republican National Party, they may have superdelegates in their own inner workings and how they put forth their own nominee as to who's going to run. But when it comes to the Electoral College system, there are no superdelegates whatsoever. That is, there's no mixture that happens there.
Yeah, very good point. Thanks, Jim. That's helpful to clarify. Thank you.
Let's go next to Pasco, Washington. And, Richard, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking the call. What I'd like everyone to look at is Article 6 of the United States Constitution. It contains the Supremacy Clause. The Constitution is supreme to all state laws. Whenever there's a conflict, the Constitution is supreme, and it's in Article 6.
Thank you, Richard. Ed, proponents of the national popular vote would say, "Well, we're not doing away with the Electoral College. We're just telling them, what they have to do in that regard."
Yeah, I guess your caller is exactly right, and I really am pleased to hear him say that. But you're right. The trick that the proponents of the national popular vote are doing is they're saying, "Hey, within each state, we can make rules on how we govern ourselves," which is true. Right, in Wisconsin or Missouri, you could have two senators and then eight members of the U.S. House at large, voted by the whole population, or you could do them any way you want. The federal government won't tell you how to pick your congressmen, your members of the House. That's one of the rules is wide open. There's space for that. So you're right, though. The national popular vote people are saying, no, we'll let you have the Electoral College. We'll let you say who's a member of the Electoral College. We're just going to tell those citizens that you must do this, and if you are not going to do this, you can't serve as an Electoral College member, which is people get selected to do that. So it's a little bit of a dodge, but I think your caller makes a good point. Maybe it's a distinction without a difference. That's why it would be tested if it ever got to that point.
Our guest today, Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. JC is our next caller from Salina, Kansas. Hi, JC, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering, if this isn't stopped in the courts before the presidential election, is it possible that the Democratic Party could be trying to unseat Trump by going around the Constitution like this? What would happen if they don't resolve this before the election, and I'll just hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks.
Okay, Ed, your response.
Well, I'll be getting a little political on this broadly. I think that the Democrat Party, and, you know, this was something that was said yesterday by Maxine Waters. She said it doesn't matter what the facts are. We have to impeach this guy. I think they are trying to unseat the president. But as to this plan, this thing, this idea of a popular vote has been going around for decades. Mm-hmm. Back into Ted Kennedy pushed it. Jimmy Carter pushed it. Every liberal along the way pushes it. So I don't see it having an impact on 2020. I just don't think there's enough people in position. And remember, right now, there's a whole bunch of Democrats who are running for president who are using the rules of the Electoral College and the majority and not this popular vote to go ahead and try to figure it out. So I don't see it as an impact on this election. But don't get me wrong, they're trying to take this president out of office. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, again, another issue there. But let's go to Brainbridge, Ohio. And let's see. Blanche is calling. Go ahead, Blanche.
Jim, I think this is another ploy to destroy the United States of America. Our Constitution is what made our country, the articles of our Constitution, and that they are trying to destroy America, to cheat. They hate Trump because he got in there and beat them. And I think this taking this electoral vote away is the most hideous thing. It's evil. And they want in there no matter what they have to do to get in there, and that's what they're going to try to do. And that the electoral vote means that there's 5 million people in New York and 1 million in another state.
Yeah.
Well, New York overrides the other state. That's why they have electoral vote, so that the states can be evenly represented.
Yeah, thank you for that, Blanche. And that's the whole purpose of this, because there's a number of states whose population is such where candidates would not even have to go to. Who cares what happens with the people in North and South Dakota or Wyoming? I mean, candidates wouldn't have to worry about this as long as they get New York City, or as long as they get Los Angeles, or as long as they get Chicago. They'll be cared for in that regard, Ed. And that's the mentality that's driving this national popular vote.
Well, and let me say thank you to your caller for expressing her, what I would say is her anger at what's going on. I do think that we are at a critical moment. I often tell my Eagles to think of 2019 as 1776. When we look back on the history, I think we'll think that. We are under assault. There are people that want to have infanticide. They want to kill babies when they're just before born or born. I mean, that's out there now. We do have people that want to subvert the rule of law. We see that. You know, we see it, whether it comes to the deep state. You want to call it the deep state, or you want to call it judges, or whatever you want to call it. And the attacks on the Constitution, exactly right. They wanted to, and this is not a minor moment in this country. This is a major moment. People need to not think to themselves, well, this has been around for a while. It's true. This idea has been around for a while. The difference is, the energy behind damaging our republic, damaging our nation, is stronger than it's ever been. And it's the media, you know, the mainstream media is really, it's not just fake news, it's also driving the people to the edge of their sanity in some cases, and certainly to the edge of what they can stand. And so we have a real problem, and I appreciate her the edge in her voice and comments, because people need to recognize attacks on this country are not always going to come from without, and they're not always going to come in the form of violence. They're going to come in the form of understanding who we are, understanding how we relate, and especially understanding the basics like our Constitution and our founding values. So it's a big moment, and this is not just another policy fight. This is a part of the war to keep America special, and to keep America doing well, and keep America together, because that's our greatness.
Ed Martin is with us today, and we're just seconds from the break, so we'll pick up our next call immediately after the break. So by all means, Julie and Linda and Charles and John, stay on the line here with us. We'll be back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Ed Martin is our guest, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, as well as affiliated organizations Eagle Forum Education and Legal Defense Fund and America's Future. We're talking about the attack on the Electoral College. It's an attack on the Constitution. Back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. One survey after another is showing that young people today want to live under socialism. The question is why? One of the reasons is a lack of education. They have not been taught what socialism really is and how it will really end. History is littered with the philosophies of Karl Marx, i.e. socialism, being worked out. It always ends badly. And yet, many have never been taught this. What they've been given is a lot of lofty platitudes, common good, social justice, shared community. They don't understand the evils of socialism, communism, fascism, Marxism. Ronald Reagan, in his farewell address, pleaded with Americans to preserve America through an informed patriotism. Our young people need that, and it includes Economics 101.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Ed Martin with us today from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles and talking about the attack on the Electoral College. Back to the phone lines. Let's see. Holding the longest, Julie in Pensacola, Florida. Julie, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. And I just want to say that we do have a good president that is running this country well and trying to keep the Constitution the way it was with our founding fathers. And it does anger me that the other party is trying to dismantle that. But I also say that many people are not educated as to how the electoral vote is processed, you know, where why they come up with that. And I think it's good that people are educated because many of them don't know. And so they don't know when they go to those polls, they don't know what they're voting for and they don't know why. And if there was just more education on why we need the electoral vote, you know, why is it important that that states that have a lot of people, millions of people, compared to, you know, North Dakota or, you know, where they don't have, but at least their vote is equal. And if many people don't know.
Yep. Julie, that's why we spent the first part of this program just laying that foundation. And I know, Ed, you're committed at your organization as well to do that education.
Yeah, and let me just say, if someone wants to contact me after, my email address is ed@phyllisschlafly.com, ed@phyllisschlafly.com. But let me make one comment on that. You know, very briefly, when I was the chairman of the Republican Party and when the RNC happened and all, people don't even realize they pick the Electoral College, the people who get to attend the Electoral College from your states, and it's kind of an afterthought. People are a delegate to this convention or that convention, and suddenly somebody's elected, and they go to vote in the Electoral College. And kind of to your point, once the vote's over on that November Tuesday, people don't even realize that 6 weeks later is when the Electoral College meets. Mm-hmm. So we do need to do a better job of educating about that, and that will make clearer the power and the strength of the system.
Julie, thank you. We're going to move quickly because time is short. Linda is calling from Cookeville, Tennessee. Hi, Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, this is a very interesting and informative program, and I sure thank you very much for your topic today. And I just want to ask a question about the idea of a new constitution for our country, 2020. I've seen it on the internet, and it's being organized, or it was implied that it would be by the liberals of our country and do away with our established constitution. And the idea that, you know, the liberals are trying to get the majority.
Okay, let me have our guests address that issue. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, Jim, you know, thank you for your question. There is a movement that has been, again, for decades to have a new convention. We, meaning Phyllis Schlafly, late Phyllis Schlafly, and I have always opposed that. The fear, even for the proponents that think the system's broken and they want a new convention, they will say there is some chance of a runaway convention. In other words, who picks the delegates? Nancy Pelosi would be a delegate at the new constitutional convention by all estimates. And so I don't think of her and Ben Franklin in the same mindset. So I just think we have a great constitution. It's not the constitution that's broken. It's the judges and the people who don't live up to it sometimes. So that movement is some good people. Jim and I were just saying some good people support that idea. It's not something I support. I think we need to keep working with this system. We need to hold our people accountable, and that's the best way forward.
Thank you, Linda. Charles is calling from Louisville, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to get your opinion on Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution. The first part says, no state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation. And this compact that y'all are referring to about forcing the Electoral College to vote the popular, it sounds like an alliance. Do you agree or disagree? Or?
Well, I think looking at the Constitution, the history, but if I recollect correctly, that's where they were talking about the powers prohibited to the states. I think that's right. And my instinct on that is that had to do with states at the time of the founding forming allegiances with other nations or other, so it's not so much about state to state making a deal to do something. It's about states doing something with other nations. Now, as I say that, you know, California signed on to some kind of agreement to do the Paris Accord because they want to be so far left on that when the president pulled out. So, but I suspect it would. I don't know how it would apply, but it might be one part of it being tested. The more likely way that this is tested is that someone comes in from the state and says, you can't do that to my Electoral College vote, and it's more of an internal thing. But I can't be sure of that.
Thank you, Charles. John in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes. It's already crooked what they did here in Minnesota by letting here in the Twin City area vote number of days.
Yeah.
And Keith Ellison got in, Omar got in, were their opponents in the other parts of the state. They only got to vote on election day.
Yeah.
I think that's already dishonest. How did that all get pushed through?
Thank you for that. And that's all part of another election issue here, Ed, on early voting. And we had the same thing in Milwaukee, extra hours on weekends, Sundays, et cetera, whereas other parts of the state that are more conservative said, no, we don't have the personnel and staff. It's only going to be during certain days.
Yeah, well, and in California, they have ballot harvesting where you can gather ballots after Election Day of people who voted or may have voted or who knows who voted. And then when they did ballot harvesting, they got a bunch of seats flipped in California. And when they did ballot harvesting in North Carolina, a Republican did it. They then struck it down, and he's out of office. My point there is to say raw power will win if you're not careful to keep the checks and balances. And so here's what I would say about that. I was the chairman of the Board of Elections in St. Louis. You have to get your own house in order. And as a citizen in Minnesota, for example, you ought to be demanding that your Secretary of State and others do that. And the real challenge is organizing ourselves, and this is what Phyllis Schlafly Eagles do, to make our, what I told you earlier, make our voices heard and more influential. Because you have to understand, loud is not only, it's not good enough. Loud is good, but loud and effective is what we need to be doing. So you may be yelling at the radio right now or the internet listening, but we have to figure out how to get your voice heard and make it effective, and that's what we do. But it's time to start yelling. But back to your point, at least you can yell about Minnesota mismanaging its voters. If you get outvoted by New York City, good luck getting them to answer your call from Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, John. And that music says we're out of time here. Ed Martin, our guest today on Crosstalk, the website phyllisschlafly.com. We'll have it posted on our website here with today's write-up. You can email him, ed@phyllisschlafly.com. Ed, thank you so much for carving out the time to help educate our listeners on this critical topic.
Great to be with you, Jim. God bless you and your listeners.
And folks, thanks so much for joining us today on Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.